Welcome to the Resource People Podcast, presented to you by Australian Resources and Energy Group, AMA. The Resource People Podcast brings to life the stories behind the people, workforces and companies of our great industry.
Welcome to Resource People Podcast. I'm Tara Diamond from AMA and I'm so happy you've joined us for this episode today, because I talked to Lisa Ali, who is the Chief People and Sustainability Officer at Newcrest. Now, that title does not encapsulate the huge amount of functional responsibility that Lisa has. It is so impressive. And in the podcast, Lisa reminds us that she is from a small Caribbean island and you are going to be blown away by her journey to her current role. I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to Resource People Podcast, Lisa.
Hi, Tara. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm so excited to talk to you. And we have so many topics to touch on because your role at Newcrest is quite large in terms of the functions that you look after. But I want to give our listeners an overview of Newcrest, how many people you employ, your locations you operate, those sorts of details.
Tara, Newcrest is the largest gold producer that's listed on the Australian Securities Exchange and one of the world's largest gold mining companies. We have more than 12,000 employees and contractors across the globe, and we operate mines in Australia. They're more fondly known to us as the Telfer and Cadia mines. Mm. We have mines in Canada called Red Chris, and in Papua New Guinea, which we fondly refer to as the Lihir mine. If you just think of the geographies across which we operate, we are actually developing quite a diverse workforce and building strong relationships with both our communities and our governments.
Oh, wonderful. And I do want to touch on your locations, because with the overview you've just given, all of those locations, obviously COVID has had a big impact. But I'm going to save that for a little while, because as I said, I've got quite a few questions. But I want to start with your role. I touched on that you wear many hats and many functions. Could you tell us about your role and what your focuses are?
Tara, I quite enjoy my role. I'll say that up front, because it gives me the ability to pull together so many different experiences in my background. So my role as the Chief People and Sustainability Officer here at Newcrest gives me oversight of the entire people function for the global business. In addition to that, I cover the health, safety, environment, security, and the sustainability portfolios at Newcrest, as well as the government relations and external relations. So that is quite a broad portfolio, but the experience that I bring to this portfolio spans decades, more than a decade and a half in the petrochemical downstream sector in primarily technical roles, then another 13 years in the oil and gas industry globally in several roles across several countries with a large multinational, and then with a smaller experiences with government-owned oil companies. So I come to Newcrest feeling like this role gives me the opportunity to contribute and pull together all of those experiences under one umbrella.
Just hearing you list the functions really blows my mind, because while they're all so complementary, there's so much technical and different skills that are required in all of those functions. And we are absolutely delighted to have you as a board member of AMA when you join Newcrest, and being able to tap into that global technical, commercial and human and people resource skills. So with your role at Newcrest and with the different, you know, range of assets that you've described, can you tell us about your experience with large-scale business transformation in the global resources sector and how that particularly prepared you? You've given us where you've worked and the types of roles, but how they've prepared you for what you're doing at Newcrest today?
When I reflect on my time in the petrochemical industry, this is way back when, one of the main things I would have had to do would have been mergers and acquisitions of companies. And then you fast forward that into the oil and gas industry. where over the last 16 years or so, it has been quite a changing environment for oil and gas companies. I've had to be involved and at the forefront of several global transformations, ensuring that the company is set up to deal with those rapidly changing business environments, to ensure that the company, as a global player, was competitive and successful in a new context, whether it was a low oil price in 2015 or 2016, or whether it was a challenge to the fossil fuels industry that started to emerge more and more around 2016, 17, and 18. So all of those changing environments have forced large global transformations that required us to really stop and think about what was the most appropriate way to organize ourselves to be competitive and sustainable in the future. And as I come to Newcrest now and I reflect on those roles, it actually has given me a really good foundation to be able to deal with complexity and to be able to simplify operations. One of the key things we've got to be thinking about as we look into the future is how do you build organizations and build Newcrest to a globally competitive organization that's agile and able to respond to the cycles in business that we are seeing coming more and more. We also have to think through, and this is something that I learned through those transformations, to be able to have the right skills in the right place and to have the forethought to understand what that looks like if you're going into a country. What's the capability you're going to need? Is that capability present in the country? If not, how are you going to build it from the onset? And then as you think through the way business is progressing, and I reflect back on some of the transformations I would have done, it's really about how you use technology to provide insights and support rapid decision making and ensure that people who are required to make the decisions, both at the front line and at the head of the organization, have the information they need at the time when they need it. So those are all of the things as you think through the large transformations and large global restructurings to meet a changing and dynamic environment you've got to really be thinking through.
Well, I'm going to touch on the last thing you mentioned there in terms of skills and the right skills at the right place and the technology in a moment. But you also touched on the changing environment. And one of the things that we've seen is the changes in resources and energy to make the industry, particularly here in Australia, and you may reflect and give us some comments about globally, to be more diverse, equitable and inclusive. I'd love to hear your perspective on that, particularly on how Newcrest is tracking in terms of diversity and inclusion.
Yeah, this is one that's particularly close to my heart, Tara. I come from and I always say this to people, I come from a small Caribbean island. I've had the good fortune of working with organizations that placed a real emphasis on diversity and inclusion. And the key thing for us and for me in particular, when it comes to diversity and inclusion, is specifically around inclusion. If you are able to build an inclusive work environment where everyone feels that they can bring their best self to work and they have a sense of belonging, then they stay with your organization. And people looking in from the outside see that you're able to attract and retain diverse people, and that in and of itself brings more diversity. Diversity then is important for the organization to be able to have diversity of thought. So to me, the key on D&I is really on the I piece. And for Newcrest, we've been focusing a lot on inclusion. Over the last year, we've put our top 100 leaders through an inclusive leadership program. And the focus of this program is really about embedding those specific inclusive behaviors that encourage people to feel psychologically safe, to be able to step up to the plate and bring their whole self to work, bring their ideas, their thoughts, collaborate together towards the best outcome for the business. So that's one of the key things that I think Newcrest has really made a lot of progress in the last year. We've also put in additional supporting mechanisms like our flexible work environments that acknowledges that not everybody wants to do a 9-to-5 or an 8-to-4 job. And we have to be able to meet our employees' needs and provide flexible work environments that would encourage people from different backgrounds, different perspectives, different lifestyles. We've also been strengthening our partnerships with host communities. And again, our inclusive behaviors and our inclusive workplace is not limited to what happens within Newcrest. It's actually what happens in all of our relationships. How do we work with our communities so that we are partnering with them to advance the economic and career opportunities for those communities in which we operate and for people living in and around our operations. To me, if all of these things are done well, we will continue to make progress in the diversity of our workforce. If you ask me, I'm a little bit impatient. We're making progress, but we're not making progress quickly enough. We have increased the number of women in management and in professional roles. We have increased the number of Indigenous and First Nation employees across our operations, but we certainly aren't making progress quickly enough. I'm quite impatient about that.
If you're impatient, it often means that you can get results, and hearing your background and the passion that you bring to that area, I'm sure that you'll be unstoppable. In fact, just hearing you talk, I'm sure there'll be lots of listeners that think, how do I get a job at Newcrest? Because the way that you've articulated inclusion at Newcrest is absolutely wonderful. And I did say that I wanted to talk to you about skills. And in fact, that's probably a really good segue into talking to you about skills, because Australia is really talking about quite significant skill shortage in some areas. And that may be the case in some of the areas you operate. And so diversity, whether it's gender diversity, whether it's different community groups, et cetera, is obviously an area that the industry can do more work in to try and attract people and upskill them or adapt their skills that they've got. What are some of the initiatives that Newcrest has in place to address some of the skill shortages we've been hearing about and to ensure, as you said, you've got the right skills at the right place?
So there are a number of things that we're doing. We're taking a longer term view of building the skills in our technical leadership and remote areas where we have these skill shortages. And one of the key things for us is to be able to do career planning, succession planning, mentoring and training in our communities, for example, to equip people with the skills they need to progress their careers. I encourage people coming into Newcrest, don't think about Newcrest as just a job. Think about Newcrest as a career. Mm. How do you build your career as you come into the organization so that you're building a career through the organization for a long period of time? And let us partner with you to do that. And for us, the ability to attract that top talent to our industry depends on understanding and meeting the needs, again, of diverse populations. You can't expect to put a one-size-fits-all out there for people. If there's a skills shortage, you have to understand that you have to be able to appeal to everyone. And you can't cut off any group of people. So understanding and meeting the needs of diverse talent pools is extremely important. Also recognizing and accessing the skills and strengths of a diverse workforce becomes extremely important as well.
I absolutely love your response about a longer term view, because that is something that many would say there's been an absence of in terms of focus on skills. But in terms of longer term view, the mining industry is undergoing, you know, a huge transformation that technology is driving. And how would you say some of the ways that Newcrest is working to help the people that you're talking to about building a career and partnering with them to do that? How is Newcrest and how's your role enabling building the skills of the future, not just for here and now?
There are a number of things that we're doing in this space. And if you think about technological progress, actually means that we need to reskill employees. Mm. To facilitate those changes. If I think about our workforce of the future, we are going to need people who are much more digital savvy, who are much more equipped to be able to deal with data providing insights, as opposed to just being manual operators out on the sites. So as you switch from your mining operations being quite manual and labor intensive to it being autonomous and making more use of autonomous vehicles, etc., the skills to run and to operate the mine site will actually begin to change. And for us, that's a really important piece in making sure that we are able to have partnerships with schools who are able to build that emerging talent that we require. So we've invested in partnerships with schools to build the talent, to enhance the STEM subjects, and to focus more on those specific skills that we are going to need in the future. One of the other things that we've got to do as well is we've got to dispel this notion of the mining industry being not attractive to our younger generation. And we've got to be able to make the industry more attractive to the younger generation and provide the opportunities and the insights for them to be able to see how they can fit in and how they can make a difference. So partnerships with schools, with the host communities, taking it as far back as primary schools and working through with teachers so that teachers are able to influence children, and actually painting a story of what working in the mining industry looks like actually attracts people to the industry. Building up our representation through apprenticeships, traineeships, cadetships across Kenya is one of those specific areas that we've been focusing on, specifically in the STEM area.
Oh, wonderful. And I love that you answered both in terms of what you're doing with your people now, but also the pipeline for the future. So important and so necessary. And when we were just talking about diversity and inclusion, specifically inclusion, you use one of my favorite phrases. Well, in fact, an area that I'm studying a lot at the moment, which is psychological safety. And, you know, with all of this transition in mind, with all of the disruption, with, you know, with COVID, et cetera, the challenges of working in the industry are really well known. And to your point about dispelling the notion as mining not attractive, we've often been a victim of our own success. We've just gotten on and got the results and done the work and not actually told the story that goes along with it. But psychological safety is really important to being included and to feel like you're safe to be able to belong. Can you talk a little bit about mental health and wellness, perhaps your approach and what Newcrest is doing at the moment to assist your people to address these challenges, even perhaps a little bit about mitigating risk given the many hats you wear in your role?
Yeah, I think, Tara, this whole area of one, psychological safety, and two, mental health and awareness has really come to the fore in the last year. While it was seen as something that happened to people few and far apart, I think the population as a whole, the mining industry, we have been confronted with the need to be able to deal with this very proactively. And I often reminded people in the last 12 months, the same way we've got a responsibility to ensure people's physical safety, we also have a responsibility to ensure people's mental health safety when they get to the workplace and beyond as well. So it's something that we take very seriously, and it has come to the fore in the last year, primarily because of COVID, yes, but it's something that I think if we hadn't had the catalyst of COVID, we probably would have had to deal with it over the next 2 to 3 years. It's just been accelerated. And if I think specifically about our PNG example, and I look at Lihir in particular, with Lihir, people getting onto the island, and because of the flight restrictions, are unable to get off the island even when their job is done. So a major area of focus for us during COVID-19 in PNG has been implementing a range of measures to help our workforce manage the psychological and physical challenges associated with the pandemic. And some of the very specific things that we did were implementing daily calls for all our people in isolation.
Wow.
And referring them to a psychologist if required. Just simple check-in calls on a daily basis. How are you doing today? for everyone who's in isolation. Another thing that we would have done would have been putting a leader crisis toolbox and weekly safety talks, specifically on how to recognize mental health issues and the symptoms, and how to deal with them, and how to channel them in terms of it being handled appropriately. Strengthening our programs that focus on addressing domestic violence and responsible alcohol use were also other areas that we paid attention to. And also doing further welfare and accommodation assessments, providing more support for families, recognizing that the separation of families for periods that were longer than normal required support at both ends. And we also had to roll out things like resilience programs that allowed people to be able to cope and gave them very basic skills for coping in these times and also additional support. We've put in a mental health buddy system. So there are people who call you up as your mental health buddy to check on you. And we've also put in mental health wardens who actually are the people within the workplace who are trained to recognize the symptoms of stress, fatigue, etc., and to deal with it in the workplace itself. So these are some of the things that we would have done in PNG specifically because it was one of our extreme areas.
Incredible the amount of response that you've done. And as you said, COVID's probably accelerated. Any of those stand out for you as things that you think have done really well for those that are listening thinking, gosh, you know, as a leader in my organization, we don't have that many initiatives. Any that you'd think that are standouts or that you'd recommend others really look to do?
You know what really struck me in this? It was the simple things that made a big difference.
Right.
So those daily calls for people in isolation were actually one of the things that you would be surprised at how well received they were and the overwhelming positive feedback we got for those. And it just struck me at that point, the simple things that we often take for granted are the things that are making the biggest difference in people's lives.
That's such great advice, Lisa. Thanks so much. And I did want to keep COVID to the end, but we've kind of already started. So I do want to ask you about generally the impact that it's had on your workforce. You know, you've obviously got head office here in Australia and you've got operations in many different countries. Probably a really difficult question given the amount of functions that you look after, but would you mind having a crack at it for me?
So for us, I think one of our greatest achievements as an industry was to actually keep the industry running during the pandemic and adapting our operations and supply chains to maintain operations as an industry. For Newcrest, I think for us specifically, we've managed to keep all our operations running without having to shut down due to COVID. And that's hats off to the health and safety culture that's both embedded in the industry and embedded across Newcrest. So we were rapidly in motion around putting in a comprehensive testing, quarantine, and precautionary contact tracing measures across all our sites, putting in strict hygiene, social distancing, and other COVID-19 management procedures and protocols. But I think really, the thanks goes to our workforce. Our workforce actually, in terms of how they responded to these measures, how they followed the protocols, how they looked out for each other, and how they took care of each other. And I think that, for me, if we did not have a workforce that was so hugely supportive and collaborative and helping us to address the issues, we could have put whatever measures in place, it probably would not have worked. So
good
our employees,
point.
Yeah, our employees really, I cannot ever overstate, one, the value of their collaboration and the value of their adherence to the protocols, but two, the significant amount of goodwill that we have seen with them as we kept our operations running.
So when you mean goodwill, I've been hearing people talk about that there's been a lot of loyalty because people felt because their companies put such strict processes, as you've discussed, in place, they feel like their employers really trusted them and worked with them to make sure they were kept safe. So is that what you mean in terms of goodwill? They felt that they were working really closely within their company to have that mutual trust to get through it together?
I think that's one part of it, the mutual trust. But I think the part that stands out even more for me is, one, the willingness to collaborate with us to ensure that we kept everyone safe. And the second piece that stands out is we often talk at Newcrest about having a culture of an owner's mindset. And if you look at our edge, what we describe as our edge, it's having that owner's mindset. And to me, as I look at how our employees responded during COVID, it was more of, this is my company, and I'm doing everything I can to keep myself, my colleagues, and my company safe and continuing to operate.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much. And having your perspective on that is fascinating. And I haven't asked you yet about, well, there's been a little bit here and there, but I haven't asked you anything directly about the sustainability part of your role. So I want to talk to you about Newcrest's climate change targets and your low carbon measures. Can you tell us about these and what Newcrest is doing to achieve the goals? And can you elaborate specifically on Cadia's operations and the decision to switch 40% of its energy sources to renewables in mid-2020? There must be a fair bit of workforce planning that's going into it and will continue to go into this significant change. Would love to hear your answers to those couple of questions.
So this is one area, Tara, today I'm extremely excited about, because today we actually announced our new goal of net zero carbon emissions by 2050, relating to specifically operational, that is scope one and scope two emissions. We will continue to work across our value chain to reduce scope three emissions. We set a target in June 2019. To reduce all our greenhouse gas emissions intensity by 30% by 2030.
Okay.
We've made good progress against that. We've secured renewable sources of energy. And in this case, as you said, wind. If I look at Cadia in particular, we are securing renewable energy sources. In this case, wind for more than 40% of the projected energy requirements of Cadia.
Wow.
And this is actually going to happen from 2024 once this wind farm has been built. And we continue to work through the plan of reducing our emissions, as we said, and we are committed to that goal of net zero carbon emissions by 2050.
That's really exciting. And just so happens the day that we talked about it was the day that you announced it. So congratulations. Anyone that works in your area would know the huge amount of work that it takes to put that kind of target and vision forward to work out, you know, may not have all of the answers today, but you have to have enough of the planning done to know that you can practically achieve that. So congratulations on the announcement, but with all the work that must have gone into it. Now, everything we've touched on in this conversation really strikes me that community is a theme that I keep hearing in a number of your conversations, whether it's the Newcrest community, whether it's the community you operate in. So I'd love to hear a bit about how Newcrest approaches its work with the community it operates in and some of the close relationships you've formed and the successful partnerships that you've got. And could you give me some ideas of the work that you do in this space and some of the positive outcomes?
So I think we've done a lot of work in this space because, and particularly in Papua New Guinea and as well in Red Chris, where we're also working with the Tahltan Nations. And for us, our principle of inclusion, as I said, does not limit it to our employees. It's actually across all of the people that we do business with, and our communities are no different. If I reflect on the last year, I think we've seen a step change in our community relationships, because if there's one thing that has come out of the challenge of the pandemic, is actually the strengthening of our relationships with our community. And one of the things that stands out is our community support fund, which we put in place last April, a fund comprising 20 million Australian dollars, around half of which we've been directing into Papua New Guinea to support the COVID-19 response. And within that fund, we've donated approximately 2.5 million to UNICEF to support the vaccine rollout in PNG. And that fund, if I think about and if I share with you how we have allocated that fund, it was in the first instance, in the early stages of the pandemic, helping the communities be able to respond and deal with the medical challenges of COVID-19. So things like ensuring that they had proper PPE in the community hospitals, setting up 8 health posts in Lahir in PNG in particular, where people could go for medical attention. If I stretch across to Chile and Ecuador, we also put money into there. And in Ecuador in particular, we funded the intensive care unit because COVID hit Ecuador very hard, and the ability to be able to treat very, very ill patients. We helped the community ensure that the intensive care facility was set up to deal with those kinds of patients. We've invested in a research for additional equipment that would support the treatment of COVID. And we also invested in the funding of the UQ vaccine. Unfortunately, they had to pull it in the early stages, but we also wanted to ensure that we were investing in the sustainable treatment over the longer term for the COVID-19 vaccine. So all of these things we've been doing in partnership with the community. If I think about the Matu population in Western Australia, we've helped fund isolation facilities to protect that population so that they would not have been exposed to the virus, and also keeping their children educated at the same time. So we funded things like laptops and iPads to ensure that they kept it up to date with their schooling. By doing these things, it has strengthened our partnership with all of these communities. They recognize that Newcrest is not only there to provide jobs, but we're investing in the long-term and sustainable development and preservation of their communities.
Lisa, that is so impressive. And I've also heard the community fund has been used to support local businesses to keep their businesses operating in the communities you operate. And so I've been hearing lots of stories about where the Newcrest Community Fund has been making a difference in your communities.
That's correct. In Cadia in particular, I can call that example in New South Wales, where our community support fund was actually used to help the economic recovery of businesses and providing grants to businesses as we started to emerge from the first few months of COVID to help the small businesses actually get back on their feet. And you can see a number of those success stories across the Orange community. And one of the other areas, Tara, that I didn't touch on was the fact that we recognized quite early on that with the mental health challenges and with the challenges of COVID also came an increase in domestic violence. And one of the things that we would have done in Orange in particular as well was fund the Domestic Violence Center, which provided a safe place for women and children to go to. So we've been pretty active in this space, and we have actually handled a large number of projects across the fund and across so many jurisdictions. It's one of the things that I think our Newcrest employees are very, very proud of, because again, this is something that was worked at the front line. This is not a corporate project. This is something that was worked at the front line with the communities, with the community partnerships and specific community representatives.
Sounds like such a meaningful response to the communities you operate in as well. And I did mention at the beginning that you had such a big, broad role that I had so many questions for you. And we could keep going and going, but our time is up. And so I just really want to humbly thank you so much for sharing in what must be an extremely busy time for you. where Newcrest are at and really allowing us to hear your perspective on what Newcrest has been doing, what you've been doing, and what's been happening in the communities you operate in. Thank you so much for joining us on Resource People Podcast today, Lisa.
Thank you, Tara, for having us.
Well, are you as blown away as I am? Just thinking about one of those areas that Lisa looks after at Newcrest is enough considering the huge amount of change and disruption over the last 12 or 18 months. But there are so many areas. Our conversation could have kept going. I really hope you enjoyed it. And thanks for joining us on this edition of Resource People Podcast. I hope you can join us next time.
AMRA acknowledges and pays respects to the traditional custodians of the land from which the Resource People podcast was recorded from today, both the Turrbal and Yugara people. AMRA acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which you are living, learning and listening to this podcast from today. We pay our respects to elders both past, present and emerging.
Thank you for listening to the Resource People podcast. We look forward to you joining us next time as we highlight the many great stories of the resources and energy industry. If you have any questions about the podcast, please email media@ama.org.au. Produced by Brad Thompson.